o'clock. Well, it would not be Chris Morales. That would not be my first choice under any circumstances. Ireland.
Who would be?
Ireland shoots without any conscience whatsoever.
Yeah.
He will just shoot from anywhere on the floor. But the player, I think, the player, and I said this earlier, is Mike Trudell. Who's got really good game and who was actually led our way in that celebrity game. I would not be worthy of that celebrity game any longer. Joining us right now is Candace Parker, who is a two-time WNBA MVP. You see her on Tuesday nights on TNT with Dwayne Wade and Shaq and those guys. Candace, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Where are you right now? You sit outside of LA school or something and going to take her
train? I'm climbing into the car about to go pick her up.
So
she doesn't play if I'm late. She calls me on it.
So we want to play a clip for you. This is from this past Tuesday on TNT. It's you and Shaquille O'Neal having a conversation. Hit that. Jorge.
Switches now, right? The NBA switches now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
why?
Whatever because everybody can shoot threes.
Whatever happened to man up?
Because you're going to be manning up, trying to recover back to your man, and they're going to hit a three just like Jokic did.
Well, but whatever happened to pre-rotating and
making? Then they move the ball around. And
you got 4 to 5 3-point shooters on the court. You ain't going to rotate enough time.
Not rotating. Not rotating.
Yeah, but you got to take the easy pass away. Like, if you ain't going to switch, you got to take the easy pass.
So that's what I'm saying.
But now you have guys that can throw the ball from one side of the court and find the guy in rhythm.
Huh? So there's
Candace, what is it like to dunk on Shaq like that? I mean, that
honestly,
is a dunk.
It's so funny because I wish that there was a camera. Obviously, everybody's kind of watched the inside story right now and seen kind of like the culture. I mean, we do that. We give it to each other and we take it just as good. So honestly, I think it's one of those things where it's like that's how we talk in the back and that's how we're going to talk on air. It's fun to be able to do this with people that you grew up idolizing. I think that's the biggest thing is I've grown up idolizing Shaq and D Wade, and to be able to talk basketball with them on a regular basis. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And by the way, you have embraced this fully. You look great. I mean, I think this is probably your long-term trajectory after your playing days are over. Am I right?
I definitely think that, and Ramona knows this, I don't think coaching is in my future. I'm not the most patient person. I've tried coaching my daughter's team, and I love her more than life itself, and I have trouble having patience. So I know that that's probably not my trajectory. Like, coaching is not going to be on the radar. So I think the second best option is probably talking about basketball, and I'm enjoying it and having fun doing it.
You know, Candace, I heard Mr. Kobe Bryant say something similar at one point, say, coaching's not for me. I'm not patient. You know, I know you and Kobe were friends. Like, I never say never. I'm not saying you need to go coach.
I'm never going to say never. Yeah. But it is a challenge to deal with. It's not just basketball, right, Ramona? It's you know, the personalities, it's patience, it's all that.
Candace Parker is with us from TNT and, of course, WNBA star as well. So what did you think of the All-Star game yesterday? It looks like LeBron put a pretty good team together, huh?
I mean, I feel like if there's anything in anybody's future that we're going to talk about, it's LeBron as a, you know, obviously a president or general. I mean, obviously he's probably going to own a team, so he'll probably play the general manager role as possible. I mean, he's undefeated in these All-Star games, but then I start looking at the roster and I'm like, how did KD not pick some of these guys? Like, how did he not pick Luka? How is Steph still there? It makes sense, right?
Well, so Shaq, the general manager, that does make sense. Or I'm sorry, LeBron, the general manager, makes sense.
So we were just
so I was like, the first one, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, Shaq, the general manager, would scare everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no to that on Shaq. He is good at many things, but that would not be one of my choices. Hey, who do you like out East, Candace? Like, I haven't talked about that with you, but this is the big topic in the NBA now. It's like Brooklyn with Blake now, all those three guys. Are you rolling with the Nets, or do you like the Sixers or somebody else?
Okay, I'm going to look crazy right now by saying this, but I've always been very intrigued by Boston Celtics, and I know Danny Ainge what he said earlier in the year of what he said where he said it's his fault. He doesn't think that they're good enough. The streak that they had after the break, they were playing better. Marcus Smart's going to come back. I don't think they're done making moves. So obviously the Nets, right now, they signed Blake Griffin. They're probably going to sign Andre Drummond. Like, this is going to be ridiculous to try to beat the Nets. But I would not count Boston out just because they always seem to be right there. And, I like those. Those are my two favorites right now.
See, I like Philly coming out of there. And I hope Andre Drummond winds up with the Lakers. Don't you think the Lakers are a possibility for Andre Drummond on the buyout market?
I think the Lakers are a possibility. I do. And I think that, the Nets and the Lakers were both in on trying to get Blake as well. So, it's going to be interesting. I don't think teams are done. I know the trade deadline is March 25th, but I think a lot more is going to come after that when teams are signing buyouts and guys that haven't been on rosters.
What do you think of the Lakers so far? It's a little hard to read them right now with Anthony Davis out, and they had lost 7-10, but what do you think of them in general, of how the new guys have fit in and if they need to add anything going forward?
I'm a big believer in big picture, and everyone had already written them in as champions in the first 12 to 13 games of the season. I mean, am I right? They look unstoppable, untouchable. So we know that level of play is there. It's just there's fatigue, there's injuries, there's ups and downs of the season. That's why it's so hard to have a dynasty. Because you have to deal with all of the things that you can control as well as the things you can't. So honestly, they don't need anything if they can get back to anywhere near the level of play that they were playing in the first 12 to 13 games of the season. If they can get healthy, they can get Anthony Davis back, which I think this is, smart for him to take his time coming back. They don't need anything when it comes to that. Defensively, Andre Drummond obviously would add a lot to their team. But anytime you got LeBron playing defense the way that he was in those first 13, 14 games of the season and playing the way he is, you don't need anything. You just need guys to do what they do, knock down shots, and play better.
I do think they need front court depth. And, they need a rim protector. They need a rebounder. They need a defender down low, all that stuff. At the same time, I'm looking at their three-point shooting. They shot 41% in their first 15 games, and now they're already down to number 25 in the league in three-point shooting. They just have not been consistent from beyond the arc this year.
And that's the thing. When you hit shots, everybody looks good. It's when you're not hitting shots. And, with the Lakers, they depend so heavily, and they still do, even with the addition of Schroeder, which I think was an amazing addition. The additions of Harrell, amazing addition. They still struggle with playmaking because a lot of that is when you're not knocking down threes, it makes the layup tough. And when you're not, getting to the paint like you're supposed to and creating, it makes threes tough because they're contested. So, a lot of that is also having the ability to fly around and defend. Schroeder is underrated defensively. I mean, everybody knows he can play defense, but him and AD on that end of the floor defending, then teams aren't able to set their defense. And that's what they were doing the first 13, 14 games of the season. Teams weren't able to set their defense because they were defending very well. And the Lakers are going to score against an unset four men back. So I just think that a lot of it, yes, there is depth. There are things like that need to be addressed. But really, it is just about defending and being able to knock down shots.
So Candace has experience playing all over the world. Women's basketball players probably have more experience playing year-round than anybody else because they go from, you guys go from the WNBA season to China or Israel or Turkey or wherever you're playing. This year in the NBA has kind of been like that. It's just been this never-ending season. Do you think teams they go through a lull? Do you think they catch a second win as you get to the playoffs, or do you think there's actually going to – does it go further downhill as we go on and it continues to wear on you?
Well, as of late, it seemed as though that the you know, the difference in scoring in terms of how much teams were winning by was higher than in any other year. So you're having teams mm-hmm. now that are, you know, when they lose games, it's not by one or two. Usually they're losing yep. by 20 or 30. So I think to me that is not having enough time to practice and not having enough time to be on court. And I know training camp and preseason games don't mean a lot to the fans. You know, what could that mean? But it does, because you're able, especially with a new team, to get yourself. That's why I've been so impressed with Philly. You have a new coach coming in with a new team, with new pieces, and they're able to put it together in the way that they're doing it. So I think that there is, you know, there is a disadvantage with not having that much on-court time. But at the end of the day, then you're able to stay more fresh. So I think it's, you know, it's going to – the fatigue usually starts setting in right before All-Star, a little break, and then get back to it.
LeBron got a little break. He took the he didn't go to Sacramento on that final trip before the All-Star break, and then he played just a few minutes yesterday. Do you worry about his minutes, season 18, age 36 years old?
I think when you get to that point, you know your body so well. I know at 34, I know my body when I wake up in the morning. I know my body when I'm going to sleep, and you know what it takes to get your body there. And so if there's anybody that has been king, no pun intended, of his own body and his ability to make decisions and, you know, steer clear of putting himself in danger, that's LeBron. And I think that, you know, it is the time that he spends. Obviously, we know about the commitment in terms of money that he puts into his body daily. And I think that sets the tone. I'm more so worried about other guys. Like, I'm worried about AD getting healthy. You know, he's got to get healthy. He's not used to playing so far into June. So I think a lot of guys, when you have somebody like LeBron to show you what it takes, they should listen.
Hey, let me ask you something about yesterday. Why do they have that skills competition? I just think that skills competition is so lame. I mean, you know, you throw the chest pass and then you make the layup, and it's like, what? Why do they have it?
Let me ask you this. Were you a guard when you played, or were you a post?
I was a guard. Not a very good one.
Okay, and I understand all the guards in the world are upset that the posts are taking over. That's just the way the world is right now. It's a post forward league.
Yep.
We are more skilled now than the guards, and the guards are a little bit embarrassed about it. So I get why they don't want the skills competition anymore.
I love that you credit Steve Mason as, like, when you played.
When I played. That's right. When I played at Maumee High School. Tell you what, I was a great seventh man.
Yeah,
I love it.
Candace, you are a nice person to include him in that athlete discussion. hey, what do you think of the new dunk contest? Like, the way at the end, was that a good change that they did where you don't have to put up a score and then try to, like, scheme with
where
the
Dwayne
other judges?
Wade doesn't rig yeah. it like he did last year?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's what we were trying to do. D-Wade and I, last year, when we were in the dunk contest and it was Aaron Gordon and he came to the counter and he actually took his shoes off, we convinced him to put his shoes back on to continue mm-hmm. dunking because up until that point he had gotten a perfect score, so he was like, I'm the champion because I have more points anyway. So we were like, let's just put up who won, like who we think won, and yeah. they were like, no, you have to score it. So I do like that change. Now I think an addition to would be to include some of these street ball, you know, crazy
yes.
guys that just do this as a career. They just travel around and dunk for a living. I think that as a fan would give the fans, like, even just having a slot, maybe it's one or two slots in there for those type of people, I think it would bring a lot more excitement to the dunk contest and a lot
That's
more creativity.
Also, can you then talk to Zion and Ja Morant and some of the great young stars in the league about being in the dunk contest?
See, here's the problem. There's more downside than upside. Like, if you land a crazy dunk that we happen to have never seen before, like, mm-hmm. think about this dunk contest. Think about Ja Morant, Zach LaVine,
yeah.
and Zion Williamson.
Ooh,
in the
amazing.
Dunk contest. That would be unbelievable. But the downside of it is, like, what if your dunk doesn't hit, you know? Or
right.
There's more downside than upside right now. Like, at the time where it was Michael Jordan, Dominique, Vince Carter, like, it was a rite of passage as a great player to do this. Now, you go down to, like, Venice Beach, Ramona, and you're going to see some dudes doing the same dunks that Vince Carter did.
True.
Like, it's no more where you just haven't seen it anymore. So it's just more, way more downside than it is upside.
Let me ask you, Michael Thompson, who we work with on the show all the time, says that the way to fix the dunk contest is to create a grand prize of $1 million. Do you think that would fix it?
With the money these guys are making nowadays, no. Nope.
Yes, it probably wouldn't. You're right. It
You're
probably
gonna have
wouldn't.
Like $1 million, you know, for 6 years or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, what these guys are making, you're right. I don't know if that necessarily counts. $1 million doesn't play. Hey, listen, Candace, thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Fun talking to you. Great work on Tuesday nights on TNT. Love your stuff there. And, of course, another WNBA season coming up for you. You're with the Chicago Sky now. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and happy International Women's Day, Ramona. I know you know, but I'm going to tell all the listeners how much I respect and love what you do on a daily basis. You are seriously the foundation of women in media, and I respect the hell out of you. So keep doing what you're doing,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, CP. You too.
Very
right
nice.
No problem.
Thanks, Candace.
Take
we'll
care.
Do the give-and-go pass there. Boom, boom.
Wow.
All right, bye.
That is high praise, Momo. That is
I know.
Praise.
She's the woman. She's awesome.
And deserved.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next for you, let's circle back around to the All-Star game, what we saw yesterday.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Really, again, they tweeted out the mace plant.
It's so good.
Talking about the mace plant, hashtag mace plant, never gets old. CC Ramona Shelburne.
Do you want me to CC Candace on a tweet about that? Because she gave you so much respect calling you a basketball player. And
do
I'll
it.
Be like, okay, I'll do it. She'll write you back.
Yeah, do
she's
it.
Really,
I was,
really
you know what? I'd like to defend myself. I was a better athlete than you think I was in high school. I mean, I never went.
I didn't think you were good. So.
Yeah, but I was better. I was better than you think I was.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a pretty low bar. So
I was in the rotation on my basketball team, and I was the only guy who could pole vault.
Yeah.
Basically, at my school, if you could pole vault, you were the pole vaulter. Because that is a tough thing to do, to pole vault.
But were you like Eddie the Eagle, the only one that did it?
I was Eddie the Eagle. Yes, I was.
Yeah.
But I managed to get over that bar at the lowest level.
Did you hurt yourself?
No, I did not.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. See what I'm talking about? All right, so yesterday, All-Star game down in Atlanta. It turns out that it became a really good time. It was a really fun game. It was great. Giannis was, I think, 16 for 16. He was named the most valuable player. Dame Lillard and Steph Curry were both making free throws or making three-pointers from half court. It was absolutely crazy, and it turned into a really fun, entertaining game.
I thought it was really fun, and, you know, I had an appreciation for the players yesterday because I know a lot of them didn't want to go and they want to break and it's this never ending year. But you know what? Like, we all have to do things we don't want to do this year. There's a lot of stuff that like nobody really feels like doing, but it's your job.
Right.
And I think I liked that they showed up. I liked that they played and had fun with it and put on a show for the fans because we forget that sometimes. Like, we always just talk about that with Kobe. Like, Kobe would even play in the exhibition games. Yep. Just because he was Kobe and he understood that this might be the one time a fan out in Ontario is going to get to see him. Like,
sure.
I like that the players showed up. I like that there weren't like just mass cancellations of all the star players. That was good.
Yeah, no, it was actually cool.
Yeah.
Everybody was there except for two guys. Embiid and Ben Simmons were in protocol, so they couldn't participate
mm-hmm.
yesterday. Yeah, I thought it was fun. I think the skills competition is ridiculous. I just think it, a chess pass. It's like, what year is it?
Well, Mace, you mentioned Michael's take on how they can fix the dunk contest.
But did you see his take on how they could fill the skills competition, how they could make that more entertaining?
How do
you
say?
So he tweeted out, add two balls dribbling skills, add a bounce pass through the tire, add 3 3-point shots, one from straight on, two from the corners. He thinks that might make the skills competition a little more entertaining. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it makes it tougher. I'm still not sure it's necessary. It just doesn't feel necessary.
You know what they were trying to do? They're trying to come up with things for other players to participate in because
they may not be good 3-point shooters. They may not dunk.
Yeah, and those competitions, they don't last too long. You know, they're kind of over real fast.
Yeah, they are over fast.
So there's like the rookie sophomore game. That's always fun because you get the young guys, you know, traveling to All-Star, and then they get to go to all the sponsor activities and go to the parties, and it's good branding and yada yada. And then they also have this skills thing, which is this idea of giving random people opportunities to do something over the weekend.
Yes.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. By the way, dunk contest, totally lame. I mean, I know Anthony Simons won it and seems like a nice guy and all that stuff. And he did go make like he was kissing the rim. He does have unbelievable hops. I mean, he jumps right out of the gym. Obi Toppin finished second and Cassius Stanley went out early. But, you know, without names, and frankly, I think I've seen every dunk now. Like, they're running out of things to do that are unique. Like, I feel like I've seen all these before.
Right.
Have we reached a tipping point where there are no new dunks?
There a long time ago. I like Candace's idea of bringing out, you know, like the dunker from Venice Beach.
Or
me
too.
People on the N1. That's cool. And it would also like really light a fire under guys. But that is what's wrong with the dunk contest is that there's mostly downside, not as much upside. And so, but like, I still don't quite buy it because if you get guys like Zach LaVine or even Derrick Jones Jr. and Aaron Gordon, like those guys, like they really showed out last year. We had an epic dunk contest.
Right. And it's true that Derrick Jones Jr. wasn't a household name when he went into that competition. But I his dunks were unbelievable.
They're awesome.
Yeah,
and
they were
awesome. It was a really good – you just need a little more star power in that. And I thought, like, you could have gotten away with having one great – like, you could have gotten away with one unknown, but you can't have three unknowns.
Yeah.
That was the problem. Like, you had to have one all-star in there or one – like, I like last week when they had Dwight Howard. That was fun. Right.
Yeah.
I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast, and he was making the point that like his son, I think his son is like, you know, around like 12 or 13. And he said he's a big NBA 2K fan. He said that his son watches the dunk contest on YouTube all the time. And he thinks that maybe YouTube and like the fact that everyone has all their highlights and dunks and stuff on there has ruined the dunk contest. I feel like he's probably right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's a little like to me, the high school reunion is kind of been ended by Facebook. Like,
yeah, it's true.
People still go to those. Like, I went to mine, but I'm local. And mostly I just kind of want to know what I can already read on Facebook. Like, I don't really need to catch up with people I haven't talked to in 20 years. It's nice to, the fun reveal of it is, oh, how are you? What'd you do with your life? What are you up to? But like now we already kind of know because it's in your Facebook profile.
Yeah, it's true. I haven't even thought about going to a reunion. I don't even know what number it would be, to be honest with you. I do a college reunion. I don't think I do a high school reunion. I don't know if I remember the people I went to high school with.
I went to my 20th reunion. It was 2000. Oh, God. I graduated in 1997. So was it my 20th union? When was it? 2017? Oh God, that's really old. Oh, it's scary to think about that. And it was fun. It was nice to see people, but the truth was like most of our conversations were like just chit chat. And
are you going to tell us about all the conversations?
Nope.
Okay.
It was mostly stuff I'd already heard. I will tell you though, there was a couple of friends that I reconnected with and we ended up going to dinner afterwards. So that was fun.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Hey, so on the other side, give me 2 minutes on this whole Meghan and Harry thing that everybody watched last night.
Did you watch?
You were posting on it on Facebook. I watched part of it.
Riveted.
Yeah, I watched part of it. So give me 2 minutes on when we come back, okay?
Okay, got it. Okay, I'm
Mesa
excited.
In Ireland, we've got Game of Games coming up too. It is a game in honor of International Women's Day, and it is my game today. We will do that coming up in 15 minutes. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, spend a few minutes with us every day. Actually, longer than a few minutes. Spend an hour with us. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Momo's in for John today. By the way, very big news, Momo.
Yeah?
On Thursday, when John returns.
Yeah?
So does Fast Track.
What?
Fast Track is going to make its triumphant return to Mesa in Ireland by popular demand. It'll be at 1:55 every day. We'll be Fast Track.
Nice. What else? What's going? Is that the? Is it replacing something else?
No. Yeah, it's replacing the scoop. The scoop.
Oh,
is
gone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we cut the scoop.
Yeah, because
we get
better.
We get so much feedback on Fast Track. We thought let's bring Fast Track back. All right. So last night, Meghan the Princess and Harry the Prince both sat down with Oprah. I watched part of it. I found it to be absolutely the most boring.
Seriously?
Thing in the world. I did. I found it to be so boring.
Wow. And you watched The Crown, though, right?
I watched The Crown. The Crown is way more interesting than what I got last night.
Interesting.
So give me 2 minutes on what the hell they were talking about.
Well, I thought it was interesting to hear the other side of the story. What Meghan said
about...
There's
a clock on this.
Yeah, well, I know. It's scary to me. I thought it was interesting that Meghan said that she didn't make Kate cry. Kate made her cry. Okay.
Right.
That was big.
That was a big deal. I saw that part.
Me, the biggest revelation was that someone in the royal family, which Harry has later gone on to clarify was not the queen or Prince, or her husband.
Not the queen or Prince Philip.
Philip. Thank you. I was searching for his name. Question what baby Archie would look like because Meghan is biracial and that is bad. That is really bad. And
yeah,
they weren't going to give baby Archie the title of prince and no one had a good explanation for that. And then the stories that came out about it later were
was
all
was it because
like,
Archie
well,
was...
I don't know, but you can connect those dots.
Wow.
And the stories
awful.
That it was the way that it was written. In the British press, Mace made it seem like Meghan and Harry didn't want Archie to be a prince. But the truth is that the firm, I love how they kept calling it the firm.
Yeah.
Was the one who decided.
Okay.
How was
there
that?
You have it. There
that
you have
was succinct.
It.
Was it good? Was that like,
two
that
minutes.
Was my good gossipy voice too. Did you like my voice?
Yeah, no, good gossipy
I sold it.
Voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else watch it? Lindsay, you watch it? All I can think is, here are these two.
I didn't watch it, but I want to, and I'm trying to figure out how to watch it because I feel like everyone's been talking about it all day.
Yeah, here are these two people who ran away from England and being princesses and princesses because they wanted to avoid publicity, and now they're doing 2 hours of prime time. Like, clearly they wanted publicity.
No, I don't think they did.
Come on, what are they? Then why not disappear to Montecito?
Well, because they've been slandered for over a year, and people who know the truth keep perpetuating the lies. And can I just say this? It just reminded all the people who don't know how amazing Oprah is, who didn't grow up on Oprah like we all did, Mace, how awesome Oprah is. Like, I think for the younger generation, Oprah is the woman who gives away cars to everybody.
Yeah.
You get a car, right? Like, no, Oprah is
Yeah, no, Oprah's the queen. Oprah's great. She's absolutely
yeah.
great. And she was great in the 5 minutes that I saw.
You should watch more. I watched
she
the whole
it.
Thing.
It was Those five
my mom
minutes,
and I watched it together, and it was like we were fast forwarding through the commercial.
Did she give away cars later in the show?
No, oh. But first of all, her makeup was so good. It was
all
so
right,
tight.
All right, oh, you've lost me. You've totally God. Lost me. All right.
Pink sweater, pink eye makeup. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Done.
Trust me.
All right, so there you have it. There is your update on the prince and the princess who aren't princes and princesses anymore.
But they said they would be if they wanted them back, but they kicked them out.
Okay, again, that's the end of the segment. once again, done with that.
I'm telling you, that's going to be the highest rated segment of the show today. It's what everybody's talking
I'm
about.
I'm sure it is going to kill. All right, so it's International Women's Day. Jeannie Buss, Lakers owner, president, governor, all that stuff, was on First Take today, and she talked about why the Lakers have got a big responsibility to the city of Los Angeles.
You know, that came from my father. It's about inclusion, about everybody coming together and doing great things, and you know, it's the Lakers have that ability. It's a platform that's bigger than any one owner, any one player, any one coach. It belongs to Laker Nation. Laker Nation is, you know, the heartbeat of you know, the Lakers and what it stands for. They'll be around a lot longer than I'll be around. And, you know, this is my time to make sure and protect the brand and protect what our fans have come to expect from the Buss family, from this organization.
Yeah, she's grown into just a fantastic owner.
Mm-hmm.
She really is. She represents the team well. She represents what the Lakers are all about. I think she is beloved in Los Angeles for all that she has done. She took over the team, realigned the front office, and won a championship. And her dad would be absolutely proud of that.
You know what I think is also, whenever I hear Jeannie talk, she's really good about, and you can tell she means it, because when she presented the trophies, when she presented, even when she accepted the trophy from Adam Silver, she right. didn't make it about her. Like, she really is good at saying, like, I'm just the caretaker of this. I am the keeper of the flame, and I'm doing, you know, and I think she recognizes that. I mean, while I think she's not giving herself enough credit, I think she does do a lot more than that.
No, she's very humble about it.
Very humble about it. And it's so refreshing in a way, because there's so many people who are not, right? I mean, how many times have we played that? Like, I thought LeBron was completely entitled to say, I want my damn respect too. You know,
yeah.
Like, that was cool. I was glad he waited until that exact moment to say it. That was perfect.
Yes.
But you know what? Jeannie could have said that too.
She could have.
She could have said that, and she could have said it. I told you so. She could have come on the show and made you feel bad, right? She could have said, you know, like, how you like me now. Like, she could have said that, but she still has not done that. And I don't think she will, even if privately maybe she might feel that.
Right.
She hasn't done that to people. And it's like, it's been a while. Like, she really has had a lot of opportunities to take a victory lap, and she doesn't. And it's refreshing. She certainly would be entitled to if she wanted to, but I think it really is her truth that she sees herself as a caretaker of a civic treasure, right? Like, the
right.
Lakers are a part of Los Angeles. Her father built them into
it's a public
what they
trust.
Are now. Yeah, it's a public trust.
Yeah, she's fantastic, and I think especially on International Women's Day, she is the most powerful woman in American sports. Is that fair to say?
I'm trying to think if there's any
others. She owns the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. She is.
Yeah, she serves on a lot of board of governors committees that make big decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else could we put in this? Condoleezza Rice has got a lot of power. She's a college football committee. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Michelle Roberts, head of the Players Union.
Michelle Roberts, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, look, I still say Serena Williams. I still say.
Yeah, but I'm talking about.
Behind the scenes.
Serena
okay.
Williams is an unbelievable athlete and just mm-hmm. spectacular. And, you know, I think the greatest, regardless of what this court woman did, I still think Serena's the best tennis player of all time
mm-hmm.
And greatest female athlete of all time. But in terms of executive power, Jeannie Buss is the only female owner in professional sports. Actually, there may be one more. I think the
Gail
Detroit
Benson.
Lions have one.
Yeah, Gail Benson in New Orleans.
Gail Benson in New Orleans. But Jeannie is very much more hands-on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think for that reason, I make Jeannie the most powerful woman in professional sports in the U.S.
That sounds right.
All right, so real quick, I wanted to get to this. Blake Griffin signed with the Brooklyn Nets as of today. And I want to follow me here, Jorge. Mark Jackson was on the Keyshawn Morning Show today, and this is what he said about Blake Griffin to the Nets.
The Blake Griffin of a couple of years ago, that's a different story. He's a game changer for them and makes them even more dominant than we expect with Kevin James and Kyrie. But we don't know what Blake Griffin we're getting. The Blake Griffin that has played for the Detroit Pistons this year is not the one that we've become accustomed to watching fly through the air and make plays. But the one thing that he does do and still has is his high IQ for the game of basketball, his ability to pass and make plays. He knows how to play. So I think he'll make them better, which is crazy to say. How much better will be determined on how much he has left in the tank.
So, yeah, he was not playing well with the Pistons. He was playing 30 minutes a game, averaging, I think, 13 points and 5 rebounds and maybe 4 assists. So he's not the Blake Griffin that we remember from the Clippers, but a solid rotation player for sure.
I think so, too. If you think, but that's not why they're signing him. Like, that's not why you heard Candace Parker mention that the Lakers had interest in him, too. Several playoff teams, I know Portland and Miami.
Do you think it's keep away?
No, I think I think he can play. I think he's what, the same reason the Lakers went out and got Marc Gasol. Like, when your athleticism goes, the question is, how does your game evolve? Well, Blake always had game. He always had more game than just being a dunker. He was a great passer. If you go back and look at his stats from really from before when Chris Paul was there, he was a good passer. He always had a good mid-range game. Think of him like Carmelo Anthony. He's got that kind of game now, just below the rim.
And
it's just a question of how long can his knees hold up? Can he hold up over the rest of the season? Can he hold up for 15 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game? But I still think he can play. I still think he's a really good player. Really skilled player, and he always was.
All right. And, of course, we talked a little bit earlier about the buyout market, the fact that Andre Drummond could wind up being on the buyout market at some point. March 25th is the trade deadline. If the Cavs are not able to trade him and they buy him out, the Lakers have interest. And according to Mark Stein, I want to make sure I get this, there is optimism within the Lakers that they will get strong consideration from Andre Drummond if Drummond ultimately leaves the Cavaliers via buyout, league sources say. Cleveland's preference, of course, remains trading Drummond elsewhere before the March 25th deadline. So if he is bought out, the Lakers, according to Mark Stein's reporting from the New York Times, reports that the Lakers are optimistic that they will get strong consideration from Andre Drummond, who would make a huge difference, I think, in the Lakers' front court.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is a game in honor of International Women's Day.
Okay.
That is coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games time, and it's sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber, and they want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. All right, month of March so far. Lindsay has won 4 times. Ireland twice. Me once. Jorge, Michael Thompson, and Ramona yet to scratch.
I almost won once.
It is true that you almost won once. Today's game is in honor of International Women's Day.
Right up your alley, Momo.
Lindsay can play, Momo can play, and Jorge, you can play. All right?
All right.
Here we go. I'm going to give you a clue to a particular famous woman. You name the woman. Your
all
name
right?
is your buzzer.
Okay.
She was part of the Underground Railroad in the
1800s.
Momo.
Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman is right. Momo is on the board. Right. Yeah, will soon be featured on the $20 bill. Nice, Momo.
Thanks.
All right.
On the board, number
two. These sisters have been dominant. Did you ring Momo?
Yeah, Momo.
Momo.
Venus and Serena Williams.
Oh, yeah, it is Venus and Serena Williams. Wow, have been a dominant force in tennis for the last 2 decades.
I'm just buzzing in early.
Yeah, remember last time you celebrated early? Uh-huh.
I know, but yeah. I'm gonna stick with this strategy.
Okay.
Okay.
This former stripper,
Jorge.
Jorge.
Wait a minute.
Oh, settle down.
Jorge.
I got this.
For you.
Who is it, Jorge?
In your life, you should not have buzzed in fast.
No, it's okay. I know my game.
Who is it?
Cardi B.
Cardi B is right. Yes. The full clue: this former stripper is known for doing a particular song, a particular sound with her mouth. And last year, she recorded the song "WAP."
Wow.
All right. Ramona 2, Jorge 1, Lindsay nothing.
Night at home today. Okay.
She was the first lady for the 43rd and 44th president. Who is that?
Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama. Jorge with the win. Yes.
Too fast. Too fast. Ding. Oh, come on, Mama. All right, let's go.
Her book, Becoming, has been on the New York Times bestseller list for about 2 years.
Oh, you're still reading the clue.
Yeah, okay. We just did that one.
Okay, you're just finishing the clue.
Ring it again. Okay, all right, next one. She played Ray.
And Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Oh
my gosh. What's her name?
Three, two,
one. I forget her name.
One. She played Rey and did battle with Kylo Ren in the most recent Star Wars films.
I remember it now, of course.
Oh, shoot. What's her name? I can't remember her
anybody?
Name.
Anybody? Three, two,
I can't remember her name.
Daisy Ridley.
Yep, it was Daisy Ridley.
Yeah,
Lindsay,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Took me a minute.
It was in there just for you.
Okay.
Okay, so this one, Lindsay, you're out of this. It's between Ramona and Jorge. Two each.
Okay.
Born in Altoona, Pennsylvania, she is the mother of the greatest radio sports talk show host.
Momo. Steve Mason's mom, Donna. Michonne.
Donna, exactly. Donna is the correct answer.
Yes!
And Momo takes the game.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
question in there?
Born in Altoona, Pennsylvania, she is the mother of the greatest radio sports talk show host in Los Angeles history. The answer is Donna Michonne. Yes.
Yeah. She just got a new house, didn't she? I saw it on Facebook.
Well, she just moved in with
I know. Yeah, just, I know. Way to go. Aren't you happy?
I don't know.
Do you feel good that I'm Facebook friends with your mom? I feel like I know a lot of things now.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you get a lot of recipes. She's big on recipes.
Yeah, and I met her at one of your parties.
Yes, you did. Yes,
yeah,
my mom
cool.
could party.
Yeah.
All right, so I wanted to, earlier today we were talking about Trevor Bauer. And Trevor Bauer yesterday, and there's photographic evidence of this, pitched against the Padres with one eye closed. So, Jorge, do you first have the announcers? I forget who is calling the game for Sportsnet LA, but here they are noticing his eyes.
1-2 pitch. And strike three called with a curveball. Three straight punch-outs for Trevor Bauer. Let's see. He's got something going on with that right eye. And now he's pitching with one eye open.
With one eye open. That's Tim
That's
Neverett.
That's a great call.
Yeah, Tim Neverett is the guy, right? Isn't that his name, Tim Neverett? I think so. The other broadcaster for the Dodgers. All right, so Trevor Bauer... this is from a couple of weeks ago. And by the way, we've looked at pictures. In fact, his eye is closed. He's pitching with one eye open.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is from a month or so back talking about changes he has made to his pitching style and mechanics.
Yeah, it's just the process is basically I go into every offseason looking at, like, what did I do well? Mm-hmm. Let me make sure I maintain that. And then in my spare time, what can I do better? Can I add a pitch? Can I command the ball better? Can I throw harder? Can I be healthier? Can I learn about sequencing? Can I study tape and break down what hitters are hitting, what they aren't? Like, what is the league trending towards so I can be prepared for it? Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, he takes a very analytical approach to pitching, which is something that Clayton Kershaw has said, I think I can learn something from him. By the way, Walker Buehler is not to the degree that Trevor Bauer is, but he's also into the analytics of pitching. Walker Buehler is. So there's some smart guys in that rotation. And, yeah, it's interesting. Pitching with one eye closed. You know, he beat the Padres with only one eye. That's incredible.
I mean, look, Kobe used to do stuff like this where he could just, you know, I remember one time. Remember when he tweeted a picture of an x-ray of his ankle?
Yes.
And all the swelling in his ankle. And it was like he was very, like, he had just discovered social media and he just was like kind of oversharing a little. And he was definitely not supposed to play the next game. And then he went out and played for like the first quarter. And I go, so why did you do that? And he said, well, I just wanted to know what it felt like to play on an ankle that was that badly swollen and messed up. And he goes, so I would know what I was capable of.
And I go, but also you did that to prove to everybody else that you could, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Right? I mean, that's the whole point of doing stuff like that sometimes. Like, on the one hand, there's an analytics reason. I'm sure it has something to do with the depth perception thing he said or focusing on things. You know, there's a lot of stuff that hitters do now where it's, you know, I told you before, like looking at the number that's written on a ball and you have to identify the number and it gets your eye to focus on the seams better and then you pick up on pitches. That's cool.
Yeah.
There's a real scientific reason to do it, but there's also a little like
swagger.
I'm doing this. Yeah, I'm doing this to the Padres so I can prove I can beat you with one eye closed.
One eye.
So good.
He'll come out with a patch on for one of these starts against
the Padres. He knows exactly what he's doing, right? I mean, that's Lenz, you were telling you followed him a lot in Cleveland. Like he does this stuff all day long. This is what Trevor Bauer's about, right?
Yeah, I think he likes the attention. And I think that he's just a different guy. And like the fact that he uses all this sports science stuff, I think that it makes him a very unique pitcher. And I also think he's trying to show the world like, hey, I'm kind of a science nerd. And there is, you know, a scientific aspect to sports and the way I pitch and all this stuff. And this is, you know, this is how, like, I don't know. He's kind of like showing off, I think,
right,
in a way.
Yeah.
Like, he loves it. He loves nothing more.
Yeah. There's also a little Nuke LaLoosh thing, you know, from Bull Durham. Like, you know, remember they got him to pitch with Susan Sarandon, taught him to wear her lingerie under his uniform.
Yes.
And breathe through his eyelids. And
breathe through his eyelids. That's right.
Yeah, breathe through your eyelids, right?
Great book. Or great movie. Great movie.
And some of that is just literally, if you're thinking about all that stuff, then you're not thinking about the pressure of the moment. You're out of your head. You're thinking about other things. It gets you out of that part of your head and into just
performing.
Yeah,
it's a little bit like Tin Cup, where he puts the tea behind his ear, and anything to get out of your head is what, I mean, even no matter what you do, to get out of your head.
Totally.
Is when I'm doing a good show, I'm not thinking about, you know, anything but the show. All right,
flowing.
Real quick, I want to get to this. Follow me here. Jay Williams was on the Keyshawn Morning Show. I call it the Keyshawn Morning Show.
Yeah, I'm sure he appreciates that.
Yeah. And Jay Williams appeared, I guess, as a guest. He talked about how with Blake Griffin, the Nets have been elevated.
So now if I'm James Harden, if I'm at the top of the key, Blake Griffin's coming up for a screen for me, how do you guard it? Do you switch it? That's a mismatch for James Harden. If you switch, now have a big on me. If Blake pops, if you want to double team me because I'm coming off, great, knock down the three. If I come off the corner and Kyrie's in the corner, boom, kick the Kyrie for a corner. If I want to skip the ball to KD, who's then isolated because now you have to help on all these other perimeter players and we're keeping the lane open, you tell me how you guard that. And if you want to go big, if the Lakers do want to go big when they get there, okay, you want to play Marcus Gasol and you want to play Anthony Davis, that probably gives you an advantage from a size perspective. But now I'm going to move KD to the five. Guard us small. How do you guard that? How do you guard it? You have to outscore. You have to outscore the Brooklyn Nets. So here's my thing. I think this was one of the missing pieces. And this added a piece. The Brooklyn Nets are by far the favorite to win it.
By far the favorite to win it.
I don't know that I'd go that far.
No, I would not go that far. I would not go that far.
Last I checked, Anthony Davis was still in the Lakers. Right?
Yeah.
Last I checked, they're still the defending champs and look pretty damn
unbeatable.
Yeah, I
can't wait to see him back. I will be so relieved when I see Anthony Davis back on the floor. So relieved. So, Momo, you're back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you getting sick of me yet? I don't know.
No, not yet. Not till Thursday.
Couple more
days. End of the show Wednesday, I'll be sick of you.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, you are one of the most accomplished women in this business that I know. So happy International Women's Day and to everybody, every woman that's in this business. That's it for us. Sedano, LZ, and Cap is next, 710 ESPN.